This podcast episode is brought to you by my Business Basics class. I teach you the 8 essential steps to get your business legal and legit so you can watch it bloom. You'll learn the basics of what is an LLC and the first steps to opening one up, opening a business bank account, how to find an accountant, what is bookkeeping and how can you do it yourself to save some money, what contracts and legal documents to consider and where you can buy them, the starting point for saving for your retirement, how to find a financial advisor, and where to start looking for business insurance. When you avoid getting all these ducks in a row, you are risking getting sued, paying more in taxes, and missing out on turning your income into more money. Head to jessicawhitaker.co/businessbasics to enroll. Hey, photographer, Jessica Whitaker here, and welcome to the Build and Bloom Photography Podcast. This is the very first episode in a new series that I am calling, well, I haven't exactly landed on the name, but it's either going to be called Community Call or Community Chat. The idea is that I bring in 4 photographers from the Build and Bloom Photography Facebook group where we dish about hot topics related to photography, as well as where we're at in our business. I want this call to feel like you are sitting down with your friends and we're being able to open up about our struggles and also our wins. If you are a photographer who's interested in participating, send me a DM over on Instagram, or better yet, pop over to the Build and Bloom Photography Facebook group and join. It's totally free to join and always will be. It's kind, it's encouraging, and it's inclusive. And that's where I share whenever we are going to be doing these calls and for you to pass along your information so that you can sign up. And also where I share about Build and Bloom women's networking meetups that are happening here in Seattle, which is where I live. We just got done this past weekend with our second women's networking group, and it was at a coffee shop in downtown Tacoma. There were 15 photographers, and it was so much fun. It's a free networking event and always will be, making it as accessible as possible to women in the community. So if you're interested in that, send me a DM over on Instagram too. Let's hop into the episode. Everyone who participated's information will be linked in the description, the show notes of this podcast. I do have to say that the audio quality of this episode isn't the best. I used a platform called Riverside, and that's what I've been doing for guest episodes because I like that. I just like the platform, but the audio sucks on it, and I thought it would be different this time. I don't know why exactly. So the future calls in this series, the future episodes in the series, I'm going to do through Zoom, and it should be a little bit better, but I didn't want to waste this episode. There's still great content in it, so please bear with me. Also, everybody participating is on different types of microphones, so one person's is a little bit echoey, somebody else's might be a bit muffled. I hope that you guys don't mind, and I am going to be improving it. I hope that Zoom is how I can do that. Just Riverside seemed like the best option, but yeah, I guess I can't recommend Riverside anymore. It also wasn't recording my audio into my microphone, even though I had it set to that setting. So hopefully I haven't scared you away yet. And I promise that it's an encouraging episode. I'm just going to do a bit of a warning for the audio quality.
I'm Jana and I live in Seattle. I'm a full-time branding and creative portrait photographer. And I've been full-time for a little over a year and I love it. My job before that, I was doing neuropsych testing as a psychometrist in a hospital. So very different. It's quite a transition.
My name is Erica. I am based in St. Louis, Missouri. I do photography and videography. It is my part-time job, as I do work full-time in marketing. I work in the automotive industry. I manage all of the stores of like a local automotive business, and I do all of their marketing and social media.
Hi, I'm Tamara. I am based in Miami, Florida. I do portraits, family portraiture and fashion photography part-time. And aside from that, I am a videographer with the New World Symphony, which is an orchestral academy here in Miami Beach.
So amazing. I'm so happy that you're here.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here too.
I'm Nikki. I'm in Chicago. I'm pretty new to this full time. I come from the restaurant hospitality industry. I used to work for a very well-known global spirits brand. I was a Chicago brand ambassador. And when COVID happened, I would say easily able to transition from restaurants and bars to photography, because I was, my first clientele were the restaurants and bars. So I've been able to be published with like food photography, cocktail photography. But with my personal rebrand of opening up my studio in Chicago, and it's only been about 6 months, I was able to go from Nikki Allen Creative, you know, as many of us go with that route, and then opening up that studio, I aptly named it Spilt Coffee Studio. So kind of paying respects to the restaurant industry background that I come from. And then also hardcore going into like this specific branding with this image and name and all that stuff. So I can't wait to talk about our topics, because as a 6 month full-time studio owner, there's been a lot of growing pains, hurdles, and all of that.
How did you guys find the Build and Bloom community, and how has it helped you in your business?
I found Build and Bloom through a friend, another photographer friend who invited me into the Facebook group, and then I started listening to the podcast. I thought it was actually in like 2018 or 2019, but I looked it up today and it was 2020, but it just feels like a really long time ago. Build and Bloom is, I'm in a lot of photography groups, like Facebook groups and other kinds of groups, and Build and Bloom is like the most active and feels like the most genuine of any that I've ever been in. Like just the way people interact, and anytime I post in there, I always get some sort of response, even if like no one who sees it knows like how to answer my question or exactly what to do, they'll give some sort of feedback. But also it's helped me a lot just with like just finding a lot of information and resources. And also I'll just share work that I'm really proud of in there sometimes. And I always get tons of like positive feedback, which is really nice, of course. I found so many photographers that I follow and that inspire me in that group too. I just see other people post their work and it's just like a constant flow of inspiration.
I think that I have been in the group in like 2018. I actually found it through like your like YouTube page. I have been watching since like the green bedroom days. I know it's been such a long time. I just like, I like to post in there whenever I need help or inspiration, but I always like how there's always new content, and I feel like I can always like get all of the answers that I need. I also like how diverse it is, and that it has like a lot of people from all over the world and not like just in my area. And I can kind of look at what like other people are doing and kind of think like, oh, like maybe I like ought to be doing that. I really get like a lot of like inspiration and stuff from it.
I found Build and Bloom through your YouTube videos. You're always promoting it. So I was like, okay, let me check it out. And to me, it's really helpful to see the struggles of other photographers. Basically, like, it validates my problems. I'm like, okay, I'm not alone in this. And like, when you first start, you just want to see how other people do it. Like, not everybody has photographers around them. Like, it's like family photography. Like, everybody know your dad is a photographer or whatever. So you're like, okay, so how often should I contact a client through the booking process? Like, what should I do in certain circumstances? And all of that, you always find answers to that there. And also, I can relate with the inspiration, seeing what other people are putting out there. And to me, it's like, I don't participate too much, but I'm always like sneaking in and seeing like, okay, you know, what's going on. It's fun and very inspiring.
I found your YouTube channel right when I started, so in 2020. And I could not understand the compression of the 35 versus 50 versus 85, which is my favorite, like one of my favorite videos. And for you to like visually, not only, you know, verbally and visually explain it, but you were also able to show the best side-by-side comparison videos. Because I feel like a lot of YouTube videos don't show and tell, and even though it's like in video format. But when you were able to show like how far away or how close you were the one that actually helped me purchase my equipment when I first joined this industry. So it was able to like, I reference that video all the time. And when newbie photographers and Facebook groups are asking, should I get a 35 or an 85? I always share that video because it's just done so well. So, and then from there, that's how I found your Facebook group.
That's so awesome. And that it's very encouraging to hear. Thank you. And thank you guys all for sharing. And for those listening, you can check out the Build and Bloom Facebook group, and it's totally free and a great resource. I recently polled the Build and Bloom community asking if anyone else is experiencing a slow season, and almost everybody except for one type of photographer, which is like senior graduation photos. But everybody else said yes, that it is a slow season. So I thought, let's share about our experiences so that the listener who might be in the same place as us will not feel alone. It's super easy to compare yourself. I mean, this is tell us all this time, but it's easy to compare yourself on social media because we are just seeing people's highlight reels. And maybe there are people who are getting booked out, and we just feel very discouraged and almost like a flop. Should I close down my business? You know, it's so easy to get caught up in the discouragement. And so let's share where we're at. And then I'm also curious what we can talk about some action steps, because that's what I'm always about in this podcast, is taking action steps to what we can do in our business during the slow season, like how we've been productive. I'm curious, out of the four of you, have any of you felt like it hasn't been a slow season and that you've actually been totally fine? Tamara?
Because I am in Miami, Florida, and it's beautiful. Come. So this is actually high season for me because a lot of people come escaping the cold. So Christmas throughout May, it's a lot of people coming. Spring break also. So yeah, no slow season right now. Slow season for me is kind of the summer. It's really hot.
Interesting.
But I do have a slow season anyway, so it's just different time of the year.
I'm from Florida, so I feel like maybe I can come home for the holidays so I can get some work and working back.
Say two parts. One, because I'm a new business, I think I'm growing organically, and that February has been my highest grossing month since being in business. With that being said, and I think it's because of the traction of people knowing that the brand exists, the studio exists, I would like to say that I have been aggressively networking and also finding clients that are looking more on a retainer base. So because that's different than, you know, family portraits or motherhood or maternity or newborn, or different seasons, I know when the holidays come to a close, the corporate world Q1, January, February, March, it's the new budget year. So if you're going over after corporate clients, which I do a lot of restaurant photo shoots for large Chicago chains, that's when their budget has been reopened and they are looking to budget their photography or in the marketing and advertising for the rest of the year. And I was nervous that it was going to be a slow season for me. But like I said, in February, it was my personal highest grossing month, which is awesome. It's a great milestone. But like, again, like the milestones of hitting that, and then the growing pains on the back end of like making sure that you have standardized workflows and you're strong on your admin duties, which I personally am not. So I'm working on that when it comes to like having either automated emails or like having all those templates and all that stuff. But yeah. So it's weird. Definitely slower when it comes to inquiries and portraits, but you know, I have been getting a couple more senior graduate ones coming through. And then with weather coming around, people have been putting a pin in and saying, I want to do a summer photo shoot with you. So they haven't booked anything yet. So now it's my job to like have them on a reach out to them within the next 30 days to officially book them or something. So.
I feel like, August through October is kind of where I'm the busiest. And then you're kind of getting into like the winter and the cold here in the Midwest. And I don't like driving, especially not in like the snow and the ice. And so I feel like I don't like to take as many bookings. Like, I don't know if anyone else here like does like weddings and stuff, but that's kind of what I specialize in. Because I would hate to get booked in kind of like the middle of nowhere and like we get all this bad weather and then, well, I still have to go because they're not going to cancel just because of snow. And, you know, like with the holidays, I have a January birthday. I just like to kind of take off that time of year. And then kind of like the beginning of March is where I like to open up my books again and kind of dive back into working because I've had this break. I get like re-inspired. I go over kind of what I did and kind of what I want to do. And yeah, so like I'm kind of getting into like the busier months now.
Do you feel like since you also work your like day job, let's call it, like in marketing, that you have the flexibility to be able to say no to bookings in the wintertime? And like that's something that you're thankful for, is like this allows me have freedom where I can say yes to what I'm comfortable with and no to what I'm not.
Yes, absolutely. And because of like my full-time job, it's like, you know, I don't have to take stuff every weekend. I can kind of take a break and like I'm still okay. And I feel like mentally, I also like need that break.
How long have you had this job? And were you doing photography and videography full-time before and then made the switch? Or have you always had like this job? Because I'm just curious if like you feel like it helps you be able to be have more freedom where you're like, okay, whereas before I was very stressed out and I felt like I was kind of spread thin and I would have to go and do these shoots like an hour out, 2 hours out in the middle of a ranch when it's icy and now. Yeah.
So this is interesting because I have my full-time job. I've had it for like a little like over 2 years. But I also do like some wedding work with another company. And I kind of started those jobs like around like same time. And then I kind of added in my own business. And so everything like I just feel like I kind of just dove in head first and started everything at once. I've been like a hobbyist in photography since like 2011, I think. But this is only my third year doing weddings.
The third year, so you started weddings right after COVID.
Yes.
That is kind of scary to start.
Yes.
What was that like? And I'm curious about the rest of you guys, if you have kind of similar experiences.
It was very busy because it's like everybody that didn't get married during like the COVID years all like pushed back. Mm-hmm. And I also got married last year, not last year, but like during that year. And I feel like it was just like almost every weekend. And I did over 30 weddings that year. And I'm like, I cannot do this like anymore. Like I told my manager, like at the company, because like when I work with them, I don't have to edit the footage. And so like every Monday, I just like email it off, which is fine. And that allows me that I can take more bookings with them because I don't have to edit. But after that, I was like, hey, like, I cannot be scheduled every weekend. Like, mentally, I cannot do this. And, like, even last year, it's like, it was not as busy at all. And I don't know exactly how many weddings I had, but it was not near 30. So, like, I needed, like, I was like, I cannot do this another year.
That is so interesting. Would be a scary time to start booking weddings, but at the same time, very smart because there was a huge demand for it.
I would say, though, I think all of that actually attributes to the slower season. I think people that are not getting as many wedding inquiries is because I think the wedding industry has gone back to what prior COVID was like. Erica, I just did my first wedding convention show in January in mm-hmm. one of the bigger convention centers in Chicagoland area. And I was talking to all the vendors. So venue owners, DJs, hair and makeup, and everyone saying that it's been slow for everyone. And I don't think it's slow. I think it's back to normal. Plus inflation. Yeah. I think plus inflation. So like back to normal plus inflation means just all of those inquiries for just the wedding industry itself is definitely slower than what people remember. But because the past 2.5-3 years has been Friday, Saturday, Sunday weddings versus the Saturday traditional wedding dates, you know?
Yeah. And I have heard that multiple times that it's just kind of going back to like what it mm-hmm. was like in the mm-hmm. past. So
I expected to have a slow season in the winter here, like as soon as it starts raining, basically. Yeah. that was my guess, even though it was my like first year being full-time. And honestly, before I was full-time, I've been doing photography like my whole life, basically since like middle school when I got my first camera. And I've been doing it like semi-professionally since college in like 2011 when I got my first DSLR. So I've been doing it on and off for like, I don't know, over 10 years, close to like 14, I think. But I was always like, if I have a full-time job, I had almost no energy to put into photography. So it'd be like every once in a while I could do like a shoot, but I was having a really hard time putting energy into like building a business. So a lot of what I had to do was just kind of come to the conclusion that I can't do both. Like I can't build up a business to a point where it works for me and then quit my job. I either had to like dive in or give up. Kind of, or just like decide I was just going to do it for fun. And I So yeah, I'm kind of getting off topic, but anyway. I'm very lucky, and I have the support of my fiance, and that's how I was able to do that, and how I was able to, we saved up money for a while, and I kind of worked until I couldn't anymore, like physically and mentally. So I quit my job last January, and then it was like, okay, diving headfirst into building my business and actually making it like so people know who I am, and like doing shoots all the time, building my portfolio so that I can advertise what I actually want to shoot. And it was amazing because I suddenly had all this energy to put into it that I never had before. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so part of that was figuring out, like, I didn't really have a lot of experience from before, like what a slow season and what the seasons would be in my area, because I wasn't really doing it with that in mind. I wasn't doing it regular enough. So yeah, I kind of learned that this year. But yeah, basically it was like October through January was my slow season. And then about like early to mid-January, I started just, people just came out. Like, it was like right after New Year's, everyone's like, okay, we're ready. I'm still not booking like as much as I would like to, but I'm getting close, and it's like gradually getting better as the sun comes out more, basically, in Seattle. Yeah. So yeah, my slow season, I would say it's not super slow anymore, but I'm still trying to build it up. And what I focused on, I knew that was going to happen. So starting in like July and August, I was starting to think about, what am I going to do during this time? I did get a part-time event coordinator job. So that kind of helped with the winter, and that helped me also connect with other local business owners. So that was like kind of a plus, like a win-win for me. helps me out with like financially, and also to like get more connections for whenever the weather's better. And then I just focused like hardcore on networking as well, like just kind of getting to know people. And that's really hard for me, because it's hard to commit to going to a place where I don't know anybody. I mean, that's hard for most people, but especially when it's like rainy and cold and it got dark at 4 o'clock, and I'm just like, why did I commit to this? So that was something that I was putting a lot of energy into over the winter, is just like making like authentic connections with people in my community. And I think that's going to be super, it's just really good for like me mentally, just to like have more connections in general, of course. And then also for my business, I think it's going to like come to light in the next like 6 months or so, that it was really good that I did that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I'm curious, Tamir, I want you to share, and then after, I think maybe we can talk a bit about networking, since Nikki, you also brought that up too. It'd be interesting. Okay, Tamir, what are your thoughts?
So my first thing to do when I know that the slow season starts, which is really June through September-ish, is go on a vacation. Because I work hard all year long, and it's very important as a creative person to change sceneries, to reset, to spend time with my husband in this case, or, you know, sometimes I go with my mom. But at the same time, I've been trying to sneaking a photo shoot. So the last two vacations that I took, I snuck in a photo shoot, and it gets me more stuff, different stuff for my portfolio that I wouldn't have otherwise. And so I feel like also I can write off a tiny bit of the vacation as a tax expense. And after that, the rest of the time, I try to do style photo shoots that I have been dreaming of doing for a long time. And it kind of designs my new portfolio for the year ahead with the content that I want to make sure I have. It fills my heart with joy, because like I get to do what I want to do, how I want to do it, connect with new models. And now I'm working on building connections with stylists and makeup artists, because right now I do everything. But yes, and so then what I try to do, and another thing I try to do, is to gift sessions to people that I know that I can use. It always has to help my portfolio for the most part. But if I know a family that I've been wanting to give them a session, then this is the perfect time to do it. And that's how I get reviews a lot. Starting out, by like, it's hard to, every client says they're going to leave a review, and then where are they? Yeah. Sometimes they don't. A lot of times they don't. But so, like, I try to work on getting reviews. On they recommend me. Like, I gotten clients out of gifting sessions because other people see what they do and they're like, "Oh, who took the photos?" And you know, that's, it works out, at least in where I live. Yeah. So I use that time to. I guess I said it all. I don't know. Yeah. to work on my portfolio, also fix up my website. I have a list of things that I want to do, and one of those is keeping up with my website, updating the photos. I don't change the pricing until the end of the year, but I kind of like it's a good time to stop and be like, okay, how is this? Has this worked? Oh, is it? Am I getting what I want? And you know, start thinking into whether I'm going to raise my prices or any adjustments that I want to do.
Yeah, that's really good. You're working on your business while is it rainy during the summertime in Miami?
Yes, it rains sometimes every day, but it's just a tiny bit for the most part. The thing is, it's hurricane season, and August and September is when most hurricanes hit, which they don't hit often, but it can happen. So if somebody wants, like a friend wants to come visit, I always tell them, like, just don't pick those months because, like, you don't want to, like, save a lot of money to come and then you get a hurricane, which is awful. And again, it might happen every 7 years, but, like, if it happens when you're here, it's going to be awful.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And so do people then in Miami for weddings, do people ever kind of schedule their weddings in like August, September, or do they generally try to stay away from that, like as a booking month?
I wouldn't know because I do not do wedding photography and I don't know wedding photographers here. So yeah.
That'd be interesting to like, to know if like people just don't book if that's like the slow season also for weddings.
I would think it would be less, maybe not no one, but it's really hot. In August.
Yeah, it's really hot. Like shooting outdoors,
miserable and muggy, and like it's just gonna be
sticky, very sticky. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. You know, so the bride, her makeup is like sweating off.
Yeah, and the sun is very harsh, so like it's literally golden hour and sunrise, and its sunrise is like 1 hour. That's all you get because it gets really the sun gets really high up in the sky, and you start feeling hot at 8 a.m. It's really hot.
But I'm sure there's a lot of really nice like indoor venues and stuff too
for weddings. Yes, for sure.
I'm curious to kind of dive into like the networking aspect. Jana and Nikki will talk about networking. Tamir and Erica, do you guys do a bit of networking?
I feel like I do maybe like a couple networking like events a year, and then obviously when I'm like at other weddings I network like with those vendors, and I have kind of made like I guess like a vendor list of like the people that I have worked with, that I always like give my couples if they need like anybody else. And I always like let them know, you know, that like this is a list of people that I have worked with, you know, that I really like, and that's why they're on this list and I would recommend them to anybody. I've always just been kind of like reserved and stuff, and so I always get like overwhelmed like when I have to network and stuff. So I know that I like ought to do more of it. It's just like actually doing it is like the hard part for me.
Yeah, I relate with Erica a little bit because I'm lazy when it comes to that, and also I'm not shy, but it's just like I'm in my comfortable space and I should network more. I have there's here a group that's called Women on Set, and because side story, I studied filmmaking and I worked for 10 years on and off in the film industry, in commercials and like stuff like that. So I have, there's a big community in there that I keep in touch with, and that we meet once a month. We meet, but I try to go, but I haven't been going so much, but it's wonderful. It's always so inspiring to see what these people are up to and like get to know new women that are creatives as well, but not all of them are into photography. They're more into videography, cinematography, and stuff like that. So my latest achievement in networking has been meeting with a local photographer. Believe it or not, I did not know any here that I was friends with, and I've been stalking this woman on Instagram, like liking her photos, and she's so amazing. And one day, she told me, "Oh, thank you for recommending me to this client." And I'm like, "Girl, I've been sending you clients for a whole year. You have no idea. Every time I cannot do a job, I'm like, oh, but I have Toba can do it. Like, contact her." And so she's like, "Really?" And we decided to meet up, and we clicked, and it was amazing. We're friends. She's my newest friend, and I'm so excited because it's so important to have that relationship and to be. It's like with the build and bloom, but in person for me, that I don't get to be in person with all of you guys. Be like, "Oh, so what happened? So how did you do that? Like, oh, so you do that? No, I don't. No wonder. Like, it's just like you grow exponentially." Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. So I'm super proud of that. But otherwise, I don't
network
too much.
That is amazing, amazing. Nikki and Jana, I'm curious what you guys do for networking.
So I, towards the beginning of slow season last year, I decided I wanted to work on like marketing to some degree because that's like my weakest point. And I basically paid for a session, like a 90-minute kind of like quick thing, because I was looking at all this stuff. It was like thousands and thousands of dollars. And I was like, I just don't have that. And I don't know what that's going to bring me. And it was just one-on-one with this woman who is just like a marketing person in the area. And I just kind of told her, she asked me some questions, I answered them, and then she gave me kind of like a lot of different options. And mostly she was like, "What you need to do is network. You need people to know that you exist," because I'm not from Seattle, I'm from Florida, and I've only lived here for 3 years. And for the first 2 years, I was not really in the community at all. I was working full time and I was pretty miserable, to be honest. So I didn't really like leave or meet a lot of people. So it was just like, yeah, in order for people to know that my business exists, like, yeah, I can post on Instagram and Facebook and stuff, but it helps to make in-person like connections with people where they like saw my face and they experienced me and they like, they would think about me later on for whatever their photo needs are, you know? So that made a lot of sense to me. And she's amazing. She also just randomly sends me stuff. Like, she hired me to photograph one of her events that she led. And then she like, she sends me stuff on Instagram all the time. She's like, "This would be cool for you." Or like, "I feel like you would connect with this person." Like, she's just a connector. She's really good at that. And so it's like ongoing ever since I worked with her just the one time. I still hear from her like probably every other week. and she does that for everybody. You know, she's just a really great person. And so that really got me into... she told me a bunch of groups to join, and she introduced me specifically to some people, and those people got me connected to other people. So I've just gone to like some coffee shop meetups with like business groups. So it's basically just women owned businesses in the area. And so I'm connecting with a lot of different businesses, which is really good for me because I do branding. So like, I don't necessarily need to connect with a lot of, I do like to connect with people in my industry, but it's also helpful to go outside of that because those are the people who are going to need my services. And it's also cool to just like learn about what people do. I just love connecting with other people's and just seeing how they run their business and what inspires them to do what they do. And it's just very interesting to me. So I'm in the right spot as far as branding photography. I just kind of go to events that sound fun to me. I try to go to as many free events as I can because like spending money on them is not that interesting to me. I don't have the money to be just going to events like that all the time. So I like to have go to free ones. And I've met a lot of people that way, and just connect with them on Instagram and just like keep up with them that way. And then I've gotten inquiries from that, from people just being like, they didn't know a photographer before and now they do, or they like, I'm the most recent one in their memory. Mm-hmm. So I come up whenever they have a need, you know, and I've also just been like engaging with other people's businesses too. Like I'll just go in and be like, I don't know. I'll just like get a massage from someone. And then like they book me later because I, you know, used their services and got to know them a little bit. So it's kind of just like, I don't know. It feels like much more community based than it did before, which is really nice.
Do you feel like you're extroverted? Like, is it easy for you to go to the events and put yourself out there, or did you have to kind of overcome anything?
I think it depends. I think probably, I'm probably mostly extroverted, but I do get drained by being at events. So like afterwards, I'm like down for the count for like 3 days. Like I'm not gonna do another one. But I enjoy like, if I'm in the mood and if I can get to the event, then I'll be okay. But it's just like, I often do have to like hype myself up or like get my fiance to hype me up so I can like go do this social thing, because it's nerve wracking to, I'm definitely an anxious person. So I'll get very anxious about going to meet a bunch of people. Even if I just know one person at the event, that helps a lot. Mm-hmm. But if I don't know anyone, then I'm usually a little like anxious, but once I get there, I'm okay.
Very similar. I went on a full day rampage of the Facebook group search bar, and not just, you know, of course the moms groups. And again, you know, you might be one of the many oversaturated photographers in that group, but at least, you know, that's the groups, especially if you're doing family portraits and motherhood. Join the local moms groups. Joining the Chamber of Commerce in the town that I'm in has been beneficial. Now, if you're coming from a humongous city, so like New York City or Chicago proper or Miami or something like that, like I can't even think if there's an actual like Chamber of Commerce board like of the whole city. So you're gonna have to just look in that specific neighborhood. And if there's different chapters, and then just looking at other, like, you know, you might be a photographer, but if you join the, if you drop off cards at the local real estate agent's office of whatever company that is, and you're like, hey, have you guys done recent headshot event? Most of the time they'll say yes, no, whatever. And be like, how about we do a co-op or co-collaboration with this, with a headshot event at the office, and everyone that has these outdated selfie cell phone headshots on their page, you know, now that they're going to get a professional one, you might need to have like a lower offering of price, but it's easier because you're doing it all in a group setting, but you know, something like that. But like Jana said, exactly, like when you go to these networking events, you're the one that's most recently on their brain. And if you support their business, they're most likely going to support you too. So just like you saying, getting a massage and something like, in the town, like I will bring my business cards and pop into all the little boutiques and cafes and restaurants. And I'll just pop in, say hi, grab an appetizer, drop my card off. And then just go down the block and just like go to every single business. And if the owner's there, I'll just be like, hey, I'm Nikki. I'm the local photographer. If you guys have any really cool ideas, events, networking events, maybe we can invite the whole moms group over for a little happy hour or something like that. Like I can go on and on about networking / marketing in that sense. But like, I would like to say, like, I even do like guerrilla style, like undercover, underground, like you don't even realize like you're advertising your business, but in such an organic way, because people don't want to feel like they're being sold to, right? Like in anything, whatever. But if something that you're passionate about or you like, or you're bringing together a group of people in a sincere, organic way, like that's why these coffee shop organic meetups are, sure they're free or sure they're smaller, like, oh, I have to go, even though you know it's going to be good and beneficial. And also remember, like, even if you do end up going all the time, people don't always need a photographer. But then the moment that they do, it's like, we all know that McDonald's exists. We all know what the Golden Arches look like. But why do we have so many commercials and billboards? It's because it's like that last thing that's it's on your mind, you know? So like, we all know about, and I know that's honestly like, I don't know how often we or you or whoever goes through the drive-thru or anything, but like, oh man, I'm having a hankering for a McFlurry. Like that's where it's like, I now know need to go there. So don't think that when you go to these networking events that like no one's booking you or you didn't get anything from that last event. Like, should I even go or bother? Like if you keep going and you refresh their mind of who you are, what you offer, like when they're ready for Christmas photos or when they're ready for their following year's, corporate budget, or like they know that their niece is about to get married, they're going to refer you to be the wedding photographer. And sometimes, because I go to so many, like now I'm realizing, oh, I shouldn't go to all of them. I've realized like this group, I've been to it 3 times and I've gotten absolutely zero from it. That's where it's like, don't go to those, but the other ones, go to those, you know. So but also it's a two-way street. Like if you're not supporting other businesses, or even you can do everything for free. You can refer other people, share their page, you know, tag them in a story or a post. Or if you're going to, again, the restaurant or a cafe or a boutique, you can take a selfie in that shop, tag them, and that's free. Like you're not even spending money at this person's business. They feel special. It feels like a little compliment. Then they're going to repost the story that you tagged on yours. That's going to automatically tag back to your page. And you know, there's going to be at least one or two clicks from that onto your page.
you'll get like one or two followers, you know, and you never know in the long game, like how Tamara said, or how I am, like, I'm kind of more of an online lurker. Like I consume and I watch and I follow and I like I do like everything, but I don't personally post a lot. But so many people will like tag me and recommend me or like comment, like when someone else says looking for this photographer, like I'm so fortunate that going to these networking events and like passing out my card, people now like remember who I am and they're the ones that are tagging me in all of those posts, which is I'm grateful for that. Like, that's just so nice of them.
People really like to refer other people, like if they have something to contribute, even if they've just met you once, like, oh, I
exactly.
How do you put yourself out there? Where, or Nikki, like, are you extroverted, or did you have to kind of overcome any like social anxiety? What advice would you give me as somebody who's very nervous and it's like, okay, I want to put myself out there, I'll go to an event, but like, how can I switch my into that mode?
Just to give everyone a backstory, when I was in high school, I failed my honors English class because I couldn't do the public speaking portion of my test. So that's just to give you guys the background picture of like, I was terrified of speaking to any public speaking presentation, small or big, and with a little bit of anxiety, just meeting strangers. But definitely, honestly, like not just mentoring with other photography mentors or marketing mentors, like how watch a couple YouTube videos on how to be a better public speaker, or even something as simple as when someone introduces themselves to you, say hello, repeat their name back and repeat a fact of who they are. Like, oh, nice to meet you, Bob. You're a real estate agent. Like that not only helps you remember that person's name, and that's on a personal level, but also it tells the other person that you're paying attention to them. And like they, again, I truly believe like when you make someone feel good or sincere or organic, or like yes. when you compliment them, they feel that warm feeling inside and they want to reciprocate that with you. So I've gone to many, whatever industry, no matter what industry it was, conferences, panels, networking events, and I have taken like a page from everyone's books, and I have become a completely different person in the past 4 or 5 years. I would have been the same person in high school that failed my honors English public speaking portion of my test 5 years ago had it not been like reading amazing self-help books on how to present yourself better, knowledge is power, how to be a really good storyteller, and not just like to tell a story, but like perception's reality. Like we all are guilty of comparing ourselves with the next hot, amazing photographer in our town, why they have that many more followers or likes or supposed business. They're going through the same stuff that we are, whether it's a slower season or whatever. But like tomorrow when you gift sessions, it might be you're not getting a financial, a paycheck, if you will, like you're not getting money from that complimentary session that you just gifted, but you might get a future client. You might realize that they're going to book you again next year, but officially book you with money, or they're going to refer you to someone else. Besides all of that, like let's say take money out of all of that. If you're taking that for a model call, capture that content, put your phone on a tripod and like capture content to post on your story. Perception's reality. Other people don't need to know that this is a gifted session. And I know that sounds like, okay, so is that other photographer only gifting sessions or something like that? But that perceives that they're busy, that they're doing a photo shoot. And then it kind of makes it real where like then if you are a new photographer or just starting your business, someone as a consumer, as a follower, they're like, wow, this person's doing a lot of photo shoots. She must be doing something right. Oh my goodness, she's getting a lot of great 5-star Google reviews. She must be doing something right. Not that you're not doing something right, but that perceived reality on social media, which is how we all do it. Like people are going to be like, I need to book with her. She's just so cool. Or like, she's doing a great job or something. I don't know. Sorry if I'm going on a tangent, but
yes,
please.
I forgot to say that while working on making my portfolio more robust during the slow season, I make sure to dosify the content throughout the rest of the year. So I was like, that's like my backup content for when I don't have anything to post. It's like, okay, let me just put a little bit of that like 5 months ago or whatever that I did, because I don't have anything new or whatever. So I think it's very important during this low season to build strategy. And that's something else that I do. Like, just remember when you said
that. Exactly.
I thought of another thing, just a little comment on slow season, is to rest. I feel like a lot of times we're sitting there thinking of like, what can I do? What should I be doing? I'm not doing anything. I have to do something. And there is stuff to do, obviously, but it's also a good time to just like take rest, especially if you've been really busy. And especially if your slow season is in the winter, because that's the time when like we're supposed to be resting more and like being indoors more. And I feel like we ignore that. And a lot of us have the tendency to be like, not okay with ourselves if we're not being productive. But that was another thing I focused on during my slow season, was just like learning how to be okay with resting.
If there's one thing that I realized in the last couple minutes, is that I need to put some business cards like in my car, in my purse, my work bag, my husband's car, like everywhere. Yes. Just so when I like go to places, be like, oh, here's my card. You know, I don't just do weddings. I just don't do couples. Like, I really want to dive more into marketing and, like, branding and stuff like that. So I think that'll be, like, a good start also for networking if I actually utilize my business cards. So
yeah. I have something to share, because this shows how true it is. This is my phone, and 14 minutes ago, I don't know if you can see it, a reminder, well, just
leave my business card
somewhere. I have a daily reminder on my phone, because the goal is when I'm at the supermarket, I'm just like leaving one on the I swear to God, that's me.
How do you guys have your business cards? Like, is it just text with a headshot? Is it your logo? Or do you have like your imagery on the business cards?
I just have my logo like on one half, and then my name and like my email, my website, my phone number and stuff, and then kind of like the business colors that I have like on my website and stuff. Just, you know, I guess all of like my brand stuff is on my business card. But I was like, I don't know, because I was like designing them, and I was like, well, I don't know if I want me on there, if I want my, you know, like logo on there. So I might make different ones with like me, and then I can just kind of like rotate them like how you mentioned. I don't know.
I have my logo like on one side, and then the other side I have like a small little picture of me and my name, and then like all my contact info. I used to have my work on my, like you said, like kind of six different versions. But I rebranded in 2021, and I didn't have the work that I wanted to put on there, because I transitioned to branding, and so I didn't yet have like enough work that I felt was good enough to put on them. So when I redid my cards, I just did it really simply. But I kind of want to rebrand again, so I might wait until I do that to redo my cards.
Well, that is kind of one of the reasons why I'm trying to get rid of my cards, because I'm not really happy with them. They're square, which is cute and different, but the font is a little thin. But yeah, I have my logo, my name and contact information, and yeah, socials and all of that. And I have a lot of them, so. Yeah.
I only get 50
constantly getting rid of them. Yeah, I guess that was a while ago. And now if I would do it again, I would make them higher quality, less of them.
Yeah, because you can't
get rid of them. It's just like, just like, when am I going to be done?
My cards are just my logo and my name and contact information, so no photos on there at all. But I literally just took them off. But I actually have – we're all familiar with the Popple, like, digital business cards. I actually have the same equivalent. You can get it on Amazon. I have a ring. That's my business card. So if I just tap it on someone's phone, and it's always on me. I'm literally not wearing it right now, but it's always on me. It's literally the equivalent of like Popple or whatever, but for your ring. So it's like a thick plastic or metal card, but it's when you tap it on your phone, it's like that e-card, or like your contact information pops up automatically. So like my ring replicates that. And besides it being like the cool factor, like it automatic, like it's not just the business card where there's a lack of call to action. You can give someone a business card, but they may or may not ever reach out because they'll lose it, they'll forget about it, or they just never look at the business cards. Like when you have those Popple cards or like the QR code, but goes directly, like the way that it does, it opens up you as a contact. And then it saves it into that person's phone automatically. And if you guys all did your iPhone updates, have you done this? If you touch your phone to another iPhone, it does the same thing. So you don't need a ring or a Popple card. If you just touch the two tops together, it will automatically share your contact information, but save it into their phone book.
Can you use those things, Popple and the ring, for Android?
Once or twice with an Android phone, but I will confess, Popple, I think it works, but like the ring itself probably doesn't.
I use an app that basically has like a thing that everyone can. I haven't really used it much, but I have it set up.
So it's just, I don't remember the brand, but all of this is, especially when you do like any e-payment, it's called NFC. N as in Nikki, F as in friends, C as in cat. If you look up NFC card, NFC ring, you can buy a pack of like 100 NFC stickers. On Amazon for literally $10. And then on my phone, and this is all free as long as you get it. You like any NFC programmer, you just touch your phone to the sticker. And then I literally have put the stickers when I was at the bridal, the wedding convention, Erica, I put not only a QR code, but a sticker next to the QR code so people can touch their phone to it or capture the QR code. And I had like different call to actions. Like one was like to enter a complimentary engagement session. Another one was like to capture my cell phone number. Another one like tag directly to my Instagram account. I had like all these like different call to action QR sticker stuff at my booth.
Did you get anything like out of that?
Erica, if you want to jump on a call after this, like not today, but like whatever, like I have so many things to talk about the wedding convention thing. And if done smart, you can definitely book either a lot or at least a good amount of like quality leads. But you know, out of 80 vendors, I was one of 30 photographers. That's a lot. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
And
I feel like I should go to those and like look up.
Yeah, just go to one. And just go attend one.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing. And yeah, you and Erica should definitely connect.
And don't get me wrong, like I would have done so much better if I was really well equipped with better time, better tools and all that stuff. But like even someone had to do it. I booked the convention 4 weeks out of it happening because it was just a sponsored ad on my Facebook. I had no, like, I didn't think about it. Like I didn't know. But I did it 4 weeks out. Everyone else that was there, they knew about it for months. And a lot of them were repeat guests that are obviously going every year. Like this DJ booth, he said he's been doing it for the past 15 years and he gets 50% of his business just from this convention center. So like they actually, when you sign up and you have these people come to your booth afterwards, they actually give you the full list of every single person that registered for the event. So I was given 3,000 emails. So those are cold leads. And then now it's up to you, like, especially if you have like a marketing background, like that's where it's like, okay guys, let's start a new chapter of email marketing, right? Yeah. Like, let's learn email marketing next, guys, you know? And if you only book 5%, isn't that like, okay, 10% of, if you book 1%, that's like 3 or 5 weddings. I can't even do the math right now, but like, that's still lucrative, right? So I don't know.
This podcast episode is brought to you by my Business Basics class. I teach you the 8 essential steps to get your business legal and legit so you can watch it bloom. You'll learn the basics of what is an LLC and the first steps to opening one up, opening a business bank account, how to find an accountant, what is bookkeeping and how can you do it yourself to save some money, what contracts and legal documents to consider and where you can buy them, the starting point for saving for your retirement, how to find a financial advisor, and where to start looking for business insurance. When you avoid getting all these ducks in a row, you are risking getting sued, paying more in taxes, and missing out on turning your income into more money. Head to jessicawhitaker.co/businessbasics to enroll.
Right now, they are trying to have a TikTok ban in the United States. So I'm curious what your thoughts are as individuals, but also as business owners, if you use TikTok for business, I know that a lot of photographers wish Instagram would go back to just being a photo sharing app. Are you happy that TikTok is being banned because it's one less video platform for you to keep up on? Or do you have a presence on TikTok? Do you need to start relocating your followers and bringing them to other platforms? What are everyone's thoughts? And Jana, I know you came to the Build and Bloom Women's Networking Meetup yesterday in Seattle, because we both are in Seattle, for those who don't know. And you were saying that you had a lot of thoughts just on it, also just as a bill and stuff. Yeah. So yeah, I'm curious, who books clients from TikTok? No. Okay, so everybody says no. What about I have to narrate it for those who are listening versus watching. Everyone shakes their head and just stay in
silence.
Erica, you do videography, so do you find that creating video content is easier, or it's just one more thing on your plate?
I actually don't use TikTok for like a business thing. I just use it in like my own time. Because I look at it as another thing that I have to make content for. And I feel like with the algorithm, it's like, if I post a video, it gets stuck at like 1 to 200 views. And in my opinion, that's not really worth it. Yeah. Like, I feel like if I was getting more views, then I would want to do more business stuff on it. And in the like automotive world, it's like, I do use it for them. And again, it's like, I feel like we don't even get like 1,000 views. Mm-hmm. And except for that, it's like, I use content that I make for Instagram and I just upload it on TikTok as well. So in that world, it's not extra work, but in my own business, I look at it as it is. Yeah. However, like if there's not a ban, I feel like I would want to look into making extra content for TikTok and just really like aim to get more views and hopefully more bookings from that.
I'm a guilty pleasure TikTok user, but I don't post at all either. But I do follow both like my personal passions and hobbies and guilty pleasures, and then also like other fellow photographers or content creators, and specifically whether it's like more educational or more consumer based. I do like to, you know, learn and get some insights from them. I can go either way. If TikTok is truly banned this time around, because you know they talked about this a couple years ago, just like little talks about it, I think it would be sad for sure. There have been so many people that have made, you know, their living off of TikTok. I know they'll figure it out and be okay because of other platforms. I don't necessarily agree with people that miss Instagram just as photos. I think collectively as humans, the way that we've transitioned from photos to videos is because we want that. We want that content. Yeah. You know, my husband doesn't have TikTok. He doesn't have Instagram, but he loves YouTube. So like his joke is like, you know, make videos horizontal again and stuff like that. but like he likes longer form. He loves watching podcasts, but on YouTube. And he likes to watch like the super long videos where my attention spans like a little hamster. Like I just genuinely want to watch these like 10, 20 second reels. But I think whether TikTok gets banned or not, like Instagram has its own short video content form, which I think a lot of it's been like cross promoted and double dipped. And on a business standpoint, I agree with Erica. I think I need to get out of my comfort zone and like just start posting more as well, no matter what social media platform. You know, everyone's starting a podcast nowadays or a YouTube channel. But I do think the way that I consume, and I know people that are not in this industry, the way that they consume is through social media, whether it's Facebook or Instagram. And if that's how they're finding other businesses to do business with, or support or whatever, like we're doing ourselves a disservice by not posting more.
I also don't use TikTok. I for my business, I did for a while, for a very short time. And then I just felt like it was too overwhelming to keep up with Instagram and TikTok, especially when it seems like there was no return. And I also kind of felt like I needed to have different content. Like I didn't want to just post the same thing that I posted on TikTok that I posted on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Although a lot of people do that, which is kind of what you were saying, Nikki, that like there's kind of like anything you can find on TikTok, you can pretty much find on Instagram now at this point, because I think most creators just do both. But a lot of people, I don't know, I guess I was just getting all this information that was like, you should be posting different stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, so there's fresh content here. And I was just like, I can barely do Instagram. Like, I can't add another thing in. And I tried. And then like, I would take 5 minutes to put this random video together of me like hiking that day. And it would go like 13,000 views. And then I'd do like one of a really good shoot that I thought was awesome with like behind the scenes and photos. And then like 3 people would see it. And I was just like, it's very discouraging. So I stopped doing that because it was not good for me like mentally. And so I was like, okay, I'm just going to really focus on Instagram. But I think for a band, I would be really upset because for a lot of reasons, one, because of the reason it's being banned, I think it's ridiculous because it's not about our data, I don't think. I don't want to get like super political or anything, but I just think that like the reason that's being like, that's being said that they want to ban it is because like to protect our privacy and our data. But like, I don't think they really care about that because there are many other places where it's being leaked. Like all of the major corporations in the United States are constantly leaking our data and selling it. So I think it's clearly another reason, and I think it's mostly about having control of it, since China owns it and does not want to, or Chinese company owns it and does not want to sell it. They're just like throwing a tantrum, and they're like, okay, fine, we're going to ban it. And that just seems like ridiculous, especially with how many small businesses and like makers and stuff that's going to affect who have been able to like create a career and like a living off of TikTok. And just for them to be like, to like throw a little tantrum, them being the government, I guess, or whoever votes for the ban. So that really frustrates me because there's just not really a reason to ban it. But for me personally, it won't really affect me other than I might get some of my time back that I'm wasting on TikTok. But it's just for personal use. But I feel like I learn a lot on TikTok too. Like I learn about a lot of things. Maybe I'm not always getting like the exact right information, but I learned that something is happening and I can go look into it for myself. Whereas like, I don't consume really any new, like traditional news anymore. And so I feel like that's where I find out that things are happening. And then that allows me to go do further research. So I don't know. I think there are a lot of reasons that TikTok should stay around. But also like you said, Nikki, I think Instagram kind of has a similar format. Of course, the algorithm is different, but it already has the same people, most of the same people on there. So I think maybe that content will come over and be more accessible through Instagram, or maybe another platform will come up that is similar. But I think the reason they're trying to ban TikTok is because of the unique aspects about it that allow us to get the information that we're getting and like see all the different things that we're seeing that doesn't really happen on Instagram. So that we would just have to see, I guess, what comes up, but something always comes up. If there's a need for it, if people want to express something, something will be born out of that. But I'm pro TikTok.
I don't use TikTok, and I don't see a need due to, I guess it's an age thing for me not consuming TikTok because I'm a little older than you. And also my clients not being, they might be on TikTok, but they don't find me that way. But needless to say, if I start seeing a shift in which I am like, don't want to be late to it, might be already too late. But what I'm saying is, if I see there's a shift and I like, it's something that I need to look into, I will. So far it's not something that's affecting my business at all. Yeah. And I spend so much time on YouTube and Instagram that it's a good thing that I have not. Yeah. I can see how I can get hooked. So yeah. You know what? Not for now.
Definitely. I have never used it for my photography. I remember I'd have like waves where I'd try for 1 month to re-upload my content from Instagram to TikTok, but I never created any like native content on the app or specifically for TikTok. I have a profile and I maybe have like a dozen videos, but none of them are photography related. They're just more like for fun, and I was experimenting about what could be pushed out, and I just found I'd always hit that wall of 200 views, and I was like, this is such a waste of time. Mm-hmm. I'd rather put that focus into other aspects of my business, more specifically like Instagram and creating content on there. But it is it's like sad in so many ways, like politically, but also to how more small business owners and more like makers, crafters, like mid-sized businesses. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on and sharing.
I love this.
It's so cool. That was really fun.
Yeah, and guess what? This is networking because like now I know you girls, so yeah. It's great.
Thank you so much. This was so fun.